Well, how about we start with a word of prayer before we look at Jonah chapter 4. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. And Lord, we ask now that you may help us to put aside from our minds those things that may have happened today or what we're planning to do. And Lord, just allow our hearts to settle, our minds to concentrate on what your word says here in Jonah 4. And Lord, in that peaceful time, allow your spirit to minister to us. Lord, we need a touch from you. We can so easily get busy and we don't hear you, Lord. And so, Father, as you've said, be still and know my voice. I pray that you would allow us to have that this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't think I need to convince you that we are beings that have emotions. All different types of emotions. One emotion that I think we all experience is that emotion of anger. There are things that get us angry. And I don't think I need to convince you of what it feels like to be angry. You might have already been angry today over something. But I'm sure we've all been angry during the week over something. Another emotion that's very familiar to us is that feeling of sadness. We all get sad at times for all different reasons. You might be sad today, or you may have been sad all week, but everyone gets sad. One feeling that isn't as common, but still very much as real, is the feeling of wanting to die. People get to a point where they want to die at times, far too often. And sometimes these three emotions all go together. Something happens in a person's life and they get angry. And then once the anger settles down, they get sad. And then if the sadness settles in, they get to a point where they want to die. And this sequence of events can happen in anyone from kings to paupers, to young people, to old people, and everybody in between. And the reason why I say these things is because in chapter 4, we see that it also happened to Jonah, the prophet. So even prophets, men of God, women of God, have these feelings as well. Jonah expressed these three emotions. And the strange thing is, in the space of seven verses, he expresses these three emotions on two occasions for two very different reasons. And today we're going to look at chapter 4 and look at God's dealings with his prophet and see how what God taught him through these circumstances is something that we can certainly learn for ourselves as well. Because sometimes we get angry, sad, and even want to die, and often they are for very bad reasons, as we see here with Jonah. Now, verses 1 to 3, we see the first occasion that this took place, and this is our first point for this morning, and I've called it Jonah's Rage with God. Jonah's rage with God. Just to give you a little bit of context, Jonah obeyed God and he went to Nineveh and he preached as God wanted him to preach, how God's condemnation will come upon them in 40 days. And they heard God's word, they believed God's word, and as we saw last week, they called upon the Lord to have mercy upon them. And God actually did have mercy on them. And he spared what some believe was around about 600,000 people from being destroyed by the hand of God. He chose to have mercy upon them. Now, if this was one of us, you know, for me being a preacher, if God sent me somewhere and I preached and and 600,000 people turned and called upon the Lord for mercy, I would be thrilled. You know, that's, isn't that exciting to have that? But we see that that wasn't the case with Jonah. He felt like a failure. This is terrible that all these people are repenting. And we read that in verses 1 to 3. This is Jonah's rage with God. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. All right? He's a very sad prophet. And so when God showed mercy to these Assyrians, Jonah wasn't happy. He was angry. He was angry that God showed mercy. Now, it doesn't say that it doesn't say directly that he was angry with God, but he was angry with the outcome, which was God's doing. And so we have to see that the circumstances that he was in was of God, and he was not happy with those circumstances. So really, his anger was with God himself. He was angry with what God allowed to happen at this time. And Jonah, he thought he knew better than God. If he was God, he would have done things differently. And I suspect in his mind, he would have done things better than God. And what would he have done? He would have slaughtered all those terrible Assyrians and give them their just deserts. That's what he would have done. And so he believed that what he thought should have happened was better than what God did. He knew better than God. And I would like to say that I often, the anger that we have and the sadness that we feel is a result of acting exactly the same as how Jonah acted. We don't like what God has allowed to happen in our life. And so we get angry about it, or we get sad about it. We don't like the circumstances around us. And I think that might be very applicable for us today in the circumstances that we find ourselves in as individuals and as a country. Does it make you angry? Does it make you sad because of what God's allowed for one reason or another? But it doesn't have to be big things. We can find ourselves getting angry just over little things, can't we? I'm thinking back when I was younger. Heading off on holidays, 3 hours into your trip, and the car breaks down. So what do? You get angry, don't you? Why did God allow this to happen? Or I've seen it happen. Beautiful wedding day. Everything's planned for a garden wedding. Sorry, Sam. And it pours rain all day. All right. That makes you sad, all right, when that sort of thing happens. Or maybe something a little bit more serious, a sickness comes and you can't help but feeling angry or feeling sad for the circumstances that God's happened, or an accident takes place, whatever it is, where if you were God, you would say, I would do things differently. I would not allow this to be happening in my life. And so we disagree with what God, the sovereign, all-knowing, all-powerful God, has allowed to happen in our life at that time. And Jonah felt just like this. He was angry with what had taken place. So much so that he wanted to die. So much so that he not only just wanted to die, he asked God if he could take his life. That's a very scary thing to be doing. And if the Lord wasn't patient and merciful and slow to anger, I'm sure he would have granted this to his very stubborn, selfish servant at this time. But instead of doing that, God decided to give him a lesson, an object lesson, to explain to him how foolish he was and why God was doing what he did. And we know the story, but it's worth looking at, because we can often be like Jonah and we don't learn the lesson. But the Lord gives him a real-life object lesson, which leads us to the second occasion that Jonah felt these emotions of anger, sadness, and despair, or wanting to die. We find the first time was Jonah was angry because God spared over 600,000 souls. People who God created in his image, people who God had fashioned in the womb, people who God loved as he loves all the world, people who had eternal souls, and he knew what would happen when they passed from this earth. And Jonah was upset because God showed mercy upon them. Second time Jonah gets angry and sad and wants to die is for a completely different reason, and that is because of the death of a plant. A plant. Now, I can imagine Liz might cry over the death of a plant, all right? All right, I can see a few. Alicia doesn't. She has to deal with death lots of times when it comes to plants. Some people come to terms with the death of plants. Others, they might hold on to them a little bit more than others. But that's what it came down to, the death of a plant called a gourd, this big leafy thing. And so Jonah had no sympathy, no concern for those who had an eternal soul, all right? But he was stricken with grief over a plant. Now, does that sound rather unbalanced to you? If it doesn't, you are unbalanced, all right? Okay? That is very unbalanced. Doesn't the gourd, a plant, sound rather insignificant compared to just one eternal soul, let alone 600,000 souls? There is no comparison. Yet Jonah had more pity, more sorrow over the death of a plant than the possibility of 600 souls. And the sad thing is Jonah felt justified for getting angry, sad, and even suicidal over the loss of a plant. Have you ever been suicidal over the loss of a plant, Liz? Not quite. Not quite. Okay. Good. Right. That's when you know you love that plant. Right. But if you put a plant on one side and then all the souls of the Ninevites on the other side, you can see that it really doesn't balance out in which one is the most important. And this is basically what God seeks to show Jonah. This is what he says at the very end of the chapter. Have a look at verses 10 and 11. It says, "Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not laboured, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle?" So God says to Jonah, you pitied one gourd that you had no part in its existence. Shouldn't I show pity on all of these people? And so God teaches him a lesson. And you think, well, that's a pretty easy lesson to learn and so on. But, you know, as I stopped and meditated and considered that this week, I realized that I'm probably far more like Jonah than what I would like to admit. You know, I stopped and thought of the things that get me angry in my life, the things that make me sad during the day. And I realized I'm more like Jonah than what I would really like to think, because I get angry, I get sad over such trivial things at times, things that don't really matter, things that were never meant to last forever anyway, and things that certainly aren't what make God angry and sad. It's just things that I just get sad over. And the things that make God sad, the things that make God angry, so often I don't even give a second thought to. And that's exactly what Jonah was doing. And this object lesson that God gave Jonah has certainly showed me that I too easily lose sight of those things that are important. And we can all do that. We can so easily get focused on the gourds in our life instead of the things that really matter, just like Jonah. And so let's have a look at God's object lesson, which brings us to the second point, if you're taking notes, and that is Jonah's ruined retreat. Jonah's ruined retreat. Let me read verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would come of the city. And so after preaching to the people, Jonah went up onto the hill on the city, and he sat there and waited to see what God would do. And while he was there, he made himself a booth, which is just like a little cubby house, all right? A little cubby house to sit in to see what would happen. And while Jonah was there, we are told that God prepared three things. And it's important to see that these were God's doing. God prepared in his sovereignty and all knowledge. He had prepared three things for his prophet as he sat there in his little cubby house. The first thing that he prepared for Jonah while he was in his little retreat is found in verse 6. It says, "And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd." I find that interesting that a prophet tries to make some shelter and it doesn't do a very good job. It doesn't even cover his head. That reminds me of me, you know, trying to build something. And God says, "You really don't know how to build anything, do you? I better help you here." And so what does God do? He prepares a gourd to grow up and provide the shade that he needed. And notice some things about this gourd. It was prepared by God, first of all. It wasn't just a bit of good luck or a coincidence. This good thing was God's doing. God wanted him to have this thing. That's the first thing to keep in mind. The second thing is, its purpose was to comfort Jonah. It says there that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. Well, that just shows the mercy of God. Here is a stubborn prophet, not happy with what God is doing, hoping that God will change his mind and slaughter everyone, and God shows pity on him and cares for him. "Oh, you got that son over you? Look, I'll take pity on you and I'll do something nice." I don't think he really deserved any niceness there, but God still was looking after his servant at this time, and he provided it to bring him some relief. And that's exactly what it did. It produced gladness. It says that Jonah was exceeding glad. Isn't that an over? Like, shouldn't you be exceeding glad if God shows mercy and saves people? Yet he was exceedingly glad over this plant that was providing him some shade because he was hot. And so he was one happy guy to see that gourd that morning. And now he could sit there in comfort and shade from the sun and hopefully see God destroy them all, right? Although that wasn't going to happen. And so it didn't take much to make him happy. Just a gourd, a plant. And so this gourd was a blessing from the Lord with the intention to comfort him and help him. And it did. And you know, the fact is, each one of us are blessed by God even though we don't deserve it. Have you sinned this week? I'm sure you have. Have you disappointed the Lord? Have you done something you know was wrong? Or God wanted you to do something and you didn't? Have you failed the Lord this week? Yes, I'm sure you have. Each one of us have. Yet God still shows mercy upon mercy to us. He gives us blessing upon blessing. Oftentimes we don't even realize it, but God is good to us. The fact is, each one of us have many what we could call gourds in our life, blessings from God, things that are good so that we can enjoy them, so that we can be glad in our life. In fact, anything that is good in your life is from God. In James chapter 1, verse 17, we read this: every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. It's not a bit of good luck. It's not a coincidence. You need to understand that if you have food, it's a blessing from God. You have shelter, you have warmth, you have family, friends, you have good things in your life that bring you joy and happiness. Understand that is a blessing from God. It's not of your own doing, and you should be giving thanks for those things. Good things that have come from the throne of God. And these things are here to bring us comfort, pleasure, and to make us happy. In fact, in our country, I think we are probably some of the most blessed and people you could have. I'm just having this vision now of gourds. It's like we're stuck in a jungle of gourds. We got so many, all right? I'm thinking, sorry, Liz, I shouldn't be looking at you, but this is a dream. You're just stuck in a world of gourds. We've just got so many around us. You've got to go to some countries, they've got to search for a gourd because there's not a lot of blessings and life is hard. We are surrounded by them. And then they can come in all different shapes and forms. I'm just thinking of my parents, who are with the Lord now, and they probably realize that these things have brought them so much joy, were so pointless, but they were so wonderful back then. Mum, one of her biggest gourds was her china cabinet. You know, that you don't see them as much. Some of you older ladies might have that china cabinet glass, and you've got all these little cups and plates and things that you can't hold and you won't ever use, but it's like your pride and joy. That's your gourd. Something you just look at it and it makes you feel nice. For my dad, his gourd, or he had a lot of gourds, watches. He loved watches. You know, like get him a watch. You could get him a watch every birthday, and he just loved it. If he lived in our day, he would have been Mr. Gadget Man. He just loved, you know, I could see where Robert gets it from now. He just loves little gadgets, and he'd love his watches. These are blessings. For us, we might have different ones. It might be a car, it might be a computer, a sewing machine, a swimming pool. I know for younger blokes, it might be a pocket knife, you know, or for us old blokes, socks, all right? You know, whatever it is. Gourds, something that makes you happy, all right? Blessings that come from the hand of God for us to enjoy in this world. You've got lots of gourds. And maybe that song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One, and surprise you what the Lord has done. Maybe you should go home and count your gourds today and how many things God has done. Yet the only problem with gourds is we can get attached to them. And we expect them to last. And we get upset when we lose them. But the reality is gourds or blessings from God, some last for a very short time, like Jonah discovered, and sometimes they last longer, but they don't last forever. As we see with the case for Jonah. Because in verse 7, we see that God had prepared something else. What else would he prepare? What other lovely thing has he prepared? Verse 7, but God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that is with it. There you go. They say worms are good for plants, not always. All right, I don't know what sort of worm this is, but the worm destroyed this gourd. And so just like it was God's will to provide the gourd, it was also God's will to take it away. Now, that's something we don't really like. We love it when it's God's will to give us something, but we really struggle when it's God's will to take something away, take one of our gourds away. But we forget that these things certainly are only temporal, and in God's wisdom, and for some reason, sometimes we don't even know what it is, He removes those things that were a point of blessings for a time. It could be to teach us a lesson. It could be to move us on, because we're never going to leave until we lose that gourd that we have. It could be to make us realize, grow closer to Him and to trust Him more. The things that are a blessing often end. It's always good to remember that that's what takes place, but we can be sure that when God allows it, it is for His good, and it's for His glory in one way or another. Because we know that after God took away the gourd, He prepared something else for Jonah. And it says that in verse 8. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah. So now He prepared a hot wind to blow as well. And so he didn't just lose the shade and have to put up with the sun, but things got even harder. He also had to have replaced, the gourd be replaced by a hot, vehement wind as well. So things got worse for him. And so these were the three things that God had prepared for Jonah. Three things that God wanted to come into Jonah's life while he was camped up there in his little cubby house. And so his little retreat got ruined. And after seeing Jonah's retreat and seeing it ruined, we see as our third point Jonah's response. And it's the last part of verse 8. It beat upon his head that he fainted, and he wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Now, we read on that he got angry first. And so Jonah's response to losing his gourd and having these terrible things is he got angry, he obviously got sad, and he wanted to die again. All right? This is the second time he's wanted to die. And Jonah reacted the same way we often act when we lose one of our little gourds. Don't we so often get angry when we lose that thing that we found so much joy in? When there's something that was a blessing and it breaks, or we lose it, or it gets stolen, that joy can so quickly turn into anger or sadness. Now, I tell you, I love playing soccer, and I'd bring the soccer ball into the house plenty of times. I'm so glad I never kicked that ball and hit that china cabinet. I'm telling you, that would have turned to a lot of sorrow for all of us if I had destroyed that. If Dad got one of his newfangled watches and I said, "Oh, Dad, can I try it?" and I put it on my wrist and it slipped off into the sink while I'm washing up, I tell you, my dad would have been angry, right? Just over losing a watch. That's just often how we respond. I was checking out today. I went in the mother's room and I saw this little rocking chair with the green little pad. And it reminded me how we had one of them. I think it was when Josh was a baby. We finally bought one of these little rocking chairs. I bought it for Linda so she could nurse Josh and go back and forth. And the first day, right, everyone was excited. And I'm pretty sure it was Robert. Robert was very excited. And he wasn't sitting on it, he was the opposite way, and he's swinging back and forth like that on it, like a kid would do, till he got so hard, he went too far forward, and it fell over on the ground, and bang, you know, which made me angry. But then, it never stopped squeaking from then on. I don't know what he did. And so then it was, and so, I tell you, I still remember it when I see that thing there. Ah, yeah, that little gourd that was going to make my wife so happy. You know, we react like that, don't we, when something that was meant to bring us joy gets ruined. And we can do it with things, we can do it with pets, you know, one of your pets die, it makes you sad if it doesn't make you angry. You miss out on a job, it makes you sad. You want to cook a nice meal for the family and you burn something and you get sad. We can get angry and sad so easily. These emotions stir up so quickly. Now, what that does is when we get angry when something happens, when we get sad when something happens, that shows us how we respond when we really care about something. That's what I'm trying to get to. That's usually how we respond when we lose something we really care about or something really bad happens and it affects us. We sometimes get angry, we sometimes get sad. That's our response. Now think of what made Jonah angry and sad. The death of a plan. But he didn't get angry or sad with the thought of thousands dying and going into eternal punishment. Yet isn't that the same way that we act so often? We have our little gourds, those little blessings that God gives us, and we lose them or they get scratched or they squeak and we get so sad or so angry. That's how we respond. Yet do we get angry with the things that God gets angry with? Do we get sad with the things that make God sad? You know, we know that God gets angry with sin. Do you get angry when you see the sin of others and yourself? Do you get sad when you see people treat each other in the wrong way? Or sad with the thought of people going to a Christless eternity? They're the things that should be making us sad. You know, I did a little research. You know, about 170,000 people will die this year in Australia. That's about one person every 3 minutes. And most of them will go into an eternity without Christ. Does that make you sad? The sad thing for me is I know I can respond with my emotions with something, a blessing that's not meant to last forever that God has given me. I can respond like that to them, but not even shed a tear or think twice when I hear of someone who goes into eternity who is lost. And that shows how we've got our bearings completely wrong so often. And we're fixated on the temporal blessings and not the eternal things. Now, as listening to a message years ago by a missionary called Jeff Adams. And he was a missionary in El Salvador, I think it was, during the Civil War. And worth having a listen to some of the things that he has to say in regards to the climate today. But anyway, he was saying that even though most missionaries left, he stayed there because he believed that's where God had called him to be. And he said death was a common experience. There was bloodshed every day. He shared how even in his church services, people would be assassinated during the service just for no reason. That's how the civil unrest and it turned into anarchy. They would lie in bed at night and they would hear the gunshots go every night with just people turning on one another. And if they had to drive somewhere, they would get stuck behind the body trucks where people would be putting bodies onto the truck from the killings of the night before. And he explained how, even though he was a missionary and he loved the Lord, he said they grew hard to that, where it became normal. And the thing that really struck him was one night their pet dog died. And their whole family was a miserable wreck in tears because their pet dog had died. And in the midst of that, it dawned on him that he was just like Jonah. We can be so heartbroken over this dog, and it's not wrong to be sad over your pet dying, but they could be so heartbroken but so cold to the death of people at the same time. And he may realize at that time he had lost his focus on what was important in the ministry. And I think that's something that would be good for us. Are we angry with the things God is angry with? Are we sad with the things that make God sad? And although we're blessed with so many gourds individually, and even as a church, as we think about destroying this building and building again, let's not lose sight of the most important things and seek to do His will. And so that's the lesson that God taught Jonah. Can I ask you, what's your gourds in your life? We all have them. Are they more important to you than the things of God? I trust they're not. Let's make sure we have a balance in what we do in life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. Thank You that You bless us, and Lord, in our country, bless us beyond what we deserve. That is so true. We are enjoying the blessings from our godly forefathers. And Lord, we ask that You would help us to take advantage of the freedoms that we have to preach the gospel, to share Christ, to show love, and that, Lord, we would hate sin like You hate it, and we'd love people like You love them. And we would seek to do Your will and not get distracted. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.